tonight we're going to begin the first collecting of Holden's oral histories in 2009 with me talking. How's that for a fair qualification? We know there are other oral histories, and we are very grateful for them. But we are not satisfied. We want more. My father used to say that there was a quotation he would never forget because he thought it really applied to the 20th century human race, and probably the 21st too. And that was, the tragedy of modern man is not that he must ask for more, but that he's willing to settle for so little. So let's not settle for so few stories. It's our treasure. And since that's our theme, that's what we're going to tell about. And to introduce this whole idea, I have here one of the originators, none other than Mr. Paul Haynes. Give it up!
Works manager, and one of the things that Holden has really been good about is recording history. The history of lectures, the history of teachings. If you go through our audio archive, you'll find treasures back to the early 70s that this place has recorded on tapes and now on digital files. It's a remarkable collection. And up to this point, it's largely been focused on people who have come here to teach. There's a lot more to Holden than just attending a class. There is a remarkable history. All of us are the history. We're the community. We have all arrived here and been here and all have different stories about why Holden is as it is. So I don't know if any of you have listened to or heard the Smithsonian Traveling Story Corps. Any of you heard that on NPR? Mm-hmm. Well, in listening to that, every time I listen to it, I think of Holden Village. Mm-hmm. That there is a remarkable history that we need to capture before it dies. And we're going to be 50 years old in 2011. And it would be nice to have folks tell their Holden story. To do that, it has been imagined that in some place in this chain of events is to create a little recording studio where folks sit down and in a matter of 3 to 5 minutes reveal a story, tell a story. And maybe you'll end up telling 30 stories, but to do them in little bite-sized pieces so that there's a chain that can be connected of the history of this place. And that's the idea that is planted, is to start recording our stories of Holden. It plays into a remarkable time in our present, in our future, in that we're going to go into a period of mind cleanup. And it's an astonishing time to invest in a whole other way of remembering this place as we prepare ourselves to celebrate as we come out in a couple of years after they start cleaning up the mine. So another way for us to participate as a community, other than just in attending classes and attending programs. So with Maren's help, tonight was a time to start that in the Fireside Recording Studio of Holden Village. So take it, Maren.
Thank you. I'm going to start by asking everyone who tells to please identify yourself, your full name, and the approximate date of the story that you're going to tell. It might be something that happen this year, or it might be something that is going to happen in 2010 as a result of being here. Or perhaps you don't have an actual date. Well, then just be approximate. I have asked many of you to come tonight because I want a good variety, a nice selection of experiences that relate to Holden Village yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So I'm going to be a bit conventional now and invite people to volunteer to tell from yesterday. That means what brought you here, or something you remember about Holden then, maybe when it was first started in 1961. Perhaps I'll give you a chance to think about that, because I know somebody already has, and that's our pastor, Nancy. She told me at supper that she had a story from 1961. And because she might have to leave before the rest of us,
no, I
want.
Don't actually.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Oh, that's very fortunate. All right, come on up. And then who wants to go after Nancy? Trish. And who would like to go after Trish? Karen? Jack? Good. This is good. Families. This is good. Okay. We have five people set up so far.
Am I supposed to sit down?
You can stand up or
okay,
sit
I'm
down.
Actually, although I didn't come here for the first time myself until 1971 on volunteer staff, I'm from Seattle.
First, full name, please.
My name is Nancy Winder, and I grew up in Seattle. And my father, Arthur Winder, was a pioneer mountain climber in Western Washington and B.C., and president of Seattle Mountaineers, and a pioneer conservationist and wilderness person in this part of the world, and a Lutheran after he married my mother. And stopped going climbing every Sunday, right. But in 1961, when the Lutheran Bible Institute first got Holden Village, they invited a group of, quote, experts to come here and assess different aspects of what this little village in the Railroad Creek Valley had to offer. And my father was invited to come up and look at trails and look at the wilderness and all the outdoor stuff. And I remember, what I remember very distinctly is him, I was in junior high school, and I remember him coming back and showing slides of the tailings. I mean, the impression I have is trees and orange. That's what I remember from his slides. But also, you have my father to thank for the fact that the Holden Lake Trail has switchbacks. If you look at old maps of the trails, you'll find that the Holden Lake Trail used to be a straight shot. Yes, it's just a straight shot up the side of the hill. And he suggested to the Forest Service that it might be a good idea to have switchbacks. And you used to be able to, when you go up the trail, it's not the people who cut corners, but you used to be able to see the where the old trail was. And being grateful for the long ways around. So that's my 1961.
What is your full name first?
My name is Patricia Peace Pipkin, and I'm from Minnesota. Have lived there more than any place else at this age in my life. Before I get started, I wanted to ask Paul, when he said mine cleanup, is that spelled M-I-N-E or M-I-N-D? Because I'm of the age where I don't remember quite as well as I used to, and so I beg your forgiveness for using notes. And I was at Holden as an artist on a Lilly Foundation grant for a month from the middle of October 2008 to the middle of November. And I was told to speak about being an artist at Holden, but actually staying in my room above the cafeteria with really good light and painting every spare minute is pretty boring to talk about. And I'd rather say how much easier it was to fulfill the ambitious terms of my grant proposal with the excellent kitchen staff at Holden cooking my three meals a day. At home, I'd have been lucky if I'd been painting that much to get two. Second, while painting at Holden, I never had to answer the phone, let the dog out, or change the kitty litter. And I did do dishes, but only twice during that whole month when I had the honor of being elected to join the professionals on the Holden Dining Hall dish team. And unlike home as well, I didn't have to walk, take a bus, or drive somewhere for a coffee break with extremely interesting people. There was this Czech or Polish engineer from Seattle who'd survived a mountaineering disaster in the Alps. He'd had hypothermia and was thinking crazy stuff, but he wasn't in some extreme sport memoir. He was my neighbor above the dining hall in the old Holden Hotel. And another interesting neighbor was the Pentecostal socialist. She was the wife of an electrician helping out on the hydroelectric facility. And then we had some performers of ancient music who brought their instruments and gave us a wonderful concert, as well as some singers from Pro Musica, and Liz, who was on our staff then, was also a member. Then there was an artist here, visiting here, with a staff member who did some of the mobiles. That was his specialty, and they got together to design a stained glass window that's going to go in Koinonia. And last, but certainly not least, was Anne Halperin, who besides her noteworthy career in the Middle East, made an unforgettable Halloween mask out of an old bra. And Holden Village, after it snowed some, purchased Fluffy, a new, better, big truck with a blade. And Buffalo, New York even emailed wondering if they could borrow her for a little while. Yep, for whatever reason you decide to come to Holden, you will not regret it, you betcha.
Karen? Full name, please.
All right, hi. My name is Karen Haynes, and I'm currently on long-term staff at Holden Village. But my husband and I came up to Holden for the first time in 93. I think, September of 1993. And this is a story just about the incredible variety one can encounter at Holden in terms of classes and things to partake of. And it's a favorite story of ours. I hope you all enjoy it. But one night, we had only been here a couple of nights, and on the schedule was a session on how to pick your career, or how do you know if you're doing the right thing in life. And so Paul and I thought, wow, you know, we're kind of at maybe a turning point in our lives. Let's go see what this is all about. So we went to the class, and it was led by two psychologists from Eugene, Oregon. Their names were really Joe and Sam. And what they were going to do was have everyone take the Myers-Briggs test. The Myers-Briggs is a kind of a personality test, if you will, and it has a number of dynamics and characteristics. For example, I am an INFP, which means I'm an introvert. You can be, you're an I, the opposite is an extrovert. An N is intuitive, and the other is an S, which is
sensing.
And an F, feeling or thinking. P or J, perceptive or judgmental, but it really isn't judgmental in the negative sense, the negative connotation of the term, but it's just how you approach life. Well, everyone took the tests, and then the instructors, Joe and Sam, had different things that we would go through to kind of show what each of those characteristics or dynamics were all about. when they got to the J and the P, that's perceptive or judgmental, they asked people to line up on a continuum and see if you felt you were really a strong J and if you felt you were really a strong P. And they asked people, so they asked the guy that was the farthest away, who was a really strong J, how did you come to Holden? You know, what was the process you went through? And he explained he'd been wanting to come for a very long time, and about a year previously, he started looking into how long it would take him to get to Holden. About 6 months before, he made his hotel reservations on the way up. He bought his boat tickets ahead of time, and he had his return route planned as well. So that was somebody with a very strong J. And then somebody with a very strong P was a young woman who said, well, I've just been hitchhiking around the country, and I heard about this place, so I just came on up. Didn't have any reservations or anything, just popped up. So Joe and Sam are talking more about J and P. And Joe says to Sam, well, tell us about your J-ness. You know, how does your J-ness work out in your family? Great, I love you. How does your J-ness work out in your family? And so he starts telling about how the family dynamics around his being a strong J. And then he turns to the other guy and says, well, tell us about your penis. Joe responds, well, if it weren't for my penis, nothing would get... So they went talking about Joe's penis. And I'm elbowing Paul to stop. Nobody else is laughing. And so we make it through the rest of the session, and as soon as we go out the door, we just double over in laughter and left all the way back to our room wondering about Joe's penis.
Anyhow, my name is Jack Coleman, and I'm Karen's dad, and, well, I'm a cut and dried in a walled city boy. If I don't see a bus, a grocery store, a gas station, or a movie theater, it ain't much of a place to go to. So, talking to people who had been up here, and, of course, Karen and Paul. Paul was on the science committee at that time, and they told about the trip. And I said, well, what's Holden like? And they said, it's mountainous area, very nice. And I said, yeah. I said, 1950, I spent 3 months in Korea with the 1st Marine Division in the mountains. And snow up to here. She said, where? I said, well, maybe up to here. But anyhow, we finally decided we would come up. And take a look, and they said, I said, what's a housing type thing? What have you got? And they said, well, these elongated buildings. I said, like barracks, like Camp Pendleton? And they said, well, yes. No, not really. I said, there's, you know, it's very nice. You'll enjoy it. And I said, yeah, you bet. Yeah, okay. So I drugged my feet, and we went down and got our boat tickets and come up, and I said, is this thing ever going to stop cruising up this lake? 3 hours worth. And I said, boy, I don't know. We got off the boat, of course, then the bus met us, and come on up, and boy, what a crowd. When we got here to meet us, hey, hi, how are you? Everybody was friendly. I said, yeah, I know why they're friendly. They want me to go to work in a kitchen. I heard about that. Night washing dishes. But anyhow, so we did come up, and was really neat. We first trip we took, a little walk. We walked down the trail, down to the falls, just beautiful, and looked up there, and there was the snow and the mountains. I said, it's pretty neat. At least I don't have to climb that. Somebody said, are you kidding? We're going to go on a hike tomorrow. And I said, this is good enough. But anyhow, we got back, and then they had the various programs set up. And I thought it was really neat. It's something going all the time. And I just loved the Bible study to come down in the morning. So this is our second trip up here. I think my daughter, when the youngest one, when she was 7 or 8, she came up over the mountains. And I think that was about 30-some-odd years ago, and with the pastor. And he had everybody from Luther Lake, from our particular church, come up with him up over the top. But they've talked about Holden for 100 years. Just about down in our church, we have people that were pastors up here in our church congregation. And as a matter of fact, the artwork over here in the main area, take a look at that. And those are from our people, from our church, Emmanuel Lutheran out of Seattle. So, but we've enjoyed it immensely. And I come back and I'll tell them, well, you may miss your theater, you may miss the buses. Not really, because they have a bus that gets you here. But and they have a nice little store. It isn't a grocery store, but the food is great.
Well, that's our first set. Now the second set, we are inviting people who are either returners to Holden, or who have someone else who has brought them in. And among that is, we have two fellows who have been here several times, and they're from Sacramento, California. Their names are Jeff and Alonzo, and they'll give their full name when they get up here. Let's give it up for Jeff and Alonzo.
My name is Jeff Temple, and I'm from Sacramento, California, but a little town outside called El Dorado Hills. And?
My name is Alonzo Ayala.
I first heard about Holden Village. We're actually what you would call recovering Catholics. We were going to the Catholic Church, but we left the Catholic Church during the presidential election of 2004. For many reasons, but so we found ourselves at a little Lutheran church that was very accepting of us, and the congregation had just been up here, and it's like every Sunday they talked about Holden Village, Holden Village, Holden Village, and so finally in the fall of 2005, I made my first trek up here to volunteer on the Fall Work Week crew, and so it was a long process to get here because Sacramento's quite a ways away. So we drove for like a day and a half, got into Portland, stayed the night, drove the rest of the way, stayed at the bed and breakfast at Fields Point. Next day got up and rode the boat up, and then rode the bus over. And you can see I'm tall, so those seats are really close together. So I thought, what have I gotten myself into? And then we pulled into the village, and the staff that was already here was out acting all crazy with mops and brooms and hoses, swinging hoses. And I'm like, oh boy, what did I get myself into? But it was a fun time. I got to clean up a diesel spill. I got to haul wood into the basement of the schoolhouse. I got to work on dish team. So yeah, it was a good time, and I heard somebody say once that once Holden Village gets in your DNA, you'll come back. And I've been back once a year since 2005. And we even came this February during winter because I grew up in Colorado and I wanted to see what the snow was like here.
Well, when he was telling me about it and he said that there was no TV, no computers, no telephone, I was kind of a little put off. I was like, just because it's so like so much a part of my life, just from being at home. And I had a taste of it when we went to Crater Lake and we stayed at the lodge there one time, and it was different. So, and then I didn't know if it was kind of cultish too. He was showing me pictures and I was like, you know, I was kind of like, okay. So we finally came up, but this time we flew. made it easier, and we flew into Seattle and made the trip out here. And I remember coming up the roadway and seeing the first chalet, and I could see like people just walking around, and I was kind of like wondering, it's like, you know, am I going to be able to go back home? You know, I didn't know if they were going to keep me or what, but I was really surprised, and I had a great time. And when we were leaving, I was going down the lake already thinking of when I would be coming back up the lake. And so we've been up here 4 times.
Yeah.
We leave tomorrow, and we're already planning of when we're going to be coming back. So it really is a great place. It's a special place, and it's an opportunity to kind of get out of reality for a while. So I'm already dreading the commute back into the valley on Monday. So, but yeah, it's a great place.
Well, we're glad you're coming back.
Thank you. Thank you.
Maybe we should have somebody who started coming a long time ago, like Anne. And you got something to tell us about Holden?
Sure.
Other than you had a convenient brassiere nearby when you needed a mask.
It worked really well. That bra, I looked like an insect with, you know, bulging eyeballs. I'm Ann Hafton. I first came to Holden with my Luther League group 40 years ago this summer, when I was 16 years old in 1969. And I came back to work on the staff in 1974 as soon as I could after college. I'll tell you about a particular incident that happened during that first summer that I was on the staff, 1974, and it was July 24th, exactly, because it was Christmas Eve. Mm-hmm. And I was enjoying a sauna late at night with some other young people. And I had, you know, my little swimsuit on, and then my peppermint striped pink seersucker robe parked outside. Mm-hmm. And we were having a nice talk and visiting, and it was close to midnight because I remember thinking, well, after midnight it'll be Christmas in July. And all of a sudden the fire alarm went off, just like it did today, with the noise and the clanging and the fire siren. And one of the people in the sauna with me happened to be the fire chief, and boy, he roared out of that sauna so fast the rest of us could have been going backwards. And we regrouped, gathered ourselves, because we knew we had something to do now. We had to work. All the staff were, as they are today, trained in what they're supposed to do when the fire alarm goes off. And of course, it had gone off many times. There were incidents, you know, a bug gets in the alarm or something, but you always have to respond as if it's a real fire. And it seemed like they're often at night, you know. So we jumped out, threw on my little robe, and dashed over to the dining room, where in those days our system was to pick up a partner and a card that said which building we were supposed to run and inspect. Because in those days we evacuated the whole village, not just the room or the building that was affected. And we were supposed to send all the villagers, guests and staff alike, all down to the volleyball courts. That was the plan. It was always that way, the routine. So I drew my card, okay. It was Lodge 4, right out here. So I went with my partner, and we ran. It was, in those days, men pulled out hoses, women evacuated buildings. That's the way it was. So we tore over to Lodge 4, and just then we heard from some other people passing by, don't send anyone to the volleyball courts, that's where the fire is. And I'm like, there's a real fire? Oh my gosh. They said, no, send everybody to Chalet Hill. Up the hill they go in their jammies with their children, you know. So we ran in there like a couple of hysterics trying to drive all these people out in the middle of the night. Can I put some shoes on my children? Just take the shoes and go, you know. Get out of this building, because the sooner we evacuated the building, the sooner we could get helping with the hoses. So we got that building evacuated, ran back, checked in, threw our card in the box, and at that point now everyone was moving, all the guests up to the Chalet Hill, so we ran down toward toward the snack bar, and that was when, just as I cleared the other side of Lodge 4, I saw that fire. And people, I will never forget the sight of that fire. It might not have amounted to much, but the first impression was hideously glorious. The flames were up in the top of the trees, in the fire in the forest down between the village center and the river. And, you know, you look at it, and, oh my gosh, the orange and yellow, the sparks, a real fire. And I just started to cry. I just collapsed, just weeping, as I thought, this whole village is going to go up in flames. First the village center and then everything else. So we ran down, and we're pulling out this hose down here and stretching it across the road and then down into the dark below. And then the young men are all running down there, tripping over each other with Pulaskis and chainsaws and every kind of implement. And you saw them going by thinking, oh, I love those boys. You know, I mean it. I mean, my heart. I was thinking, come home safe, you guys. So I got to hold the hose with all the other girls, you know, in their jammies. And I'm wearing my swimsuit. I'm holding the, I had the place where the hoses meet. What's that called? Yeah. It was real heavy. Plus it was leaking. But it was a good thing because I had a swimsuit on. So leaking water all over, and my little pink robe is getting all wet, and I'm crying, and yeah, it was a very emotional night. And then you could hear them down in the forest below starting those chainsaws, and then you heard them call up, oh, water, water, water. So then we were supposed to turn on the hose at the hose house, and then all of a sudden, no, no water, no water. Okay, they weren't ready. All right, then we waited. Then water comes the word, the hose, water, water. We turned it on and blast that water. It didn't amount. I mean, the fire was the size of this fire pit right here. But it looked really bad. It was really tall. And at late that night when it was all over, we sat in the dining room drinking coffee and exchanging war stories and stomping the mud. The men came in, oh, they were so dirty and they were so manly. And we were up, oh, we were so glad the village didn't burn down that time. Thank you.
That was fun. Well, speaking of which, we did have a fire alarm go off today. And we have a couple members of the Maverick crew here, by the name of Heidi and Pete. Would you two like to come up and give us a little story from your recent or not so recent experiences, either getting here or being here at Holden Village? By the way, these two happen to be twins. And by the way, one of them isn't really Pete.
I'm Lisa.
Okay, say your whole names.
Oh, what story are you going to tell, Peggy?
I didn't even know we were going to do this.
Well, I told you about how we were going to do this.
About 10 minutes ago.
No, I told you this morning across the dining room. She was about to head back for the summer job at the hike house and stuff. So she spent 3 weeks at home, and then Noah came for a week. For that last week, Heidi was here. So then Noah was like off visiting his family and weddings and whatnot and stuff. So
back in Minnesota.
Back in Minnesota. Yeah, that's right. We're from Minnesota. And anyways, do you want to tell it? I think you should tell. Anyways, yeah, you tell it, Heidi.
We're twins. Okay, so I was Noah.
Lisa and I were going to drive out to Washington to go to Holden Village. I was bringing my sister to come out for a week. We were driving out. It's going to be this great road trip. And it worked out that Noah was going to sleep over at our house in Minnesota the night before. And I come from a big family. If you think this is crazy, just times that by three.
And our parents are coming on Wednesday, so you'll meet some of them too.
So there are six of us, and we're all very boisterous, and my brother's married, so really there's seven of us. My aunt was there. It's just this huge cornucopia of skilledoms at this family, and Noah was going to march right into it. And I, rightly so, was a little nervous. I'm always nervous whenever anybody comes into the skilledom house, because...
Really? I get excited.
She does. So, meet Noah in the driveway and say, "Hey, welcome to my house. Do you wanna meet Lisa first? You know, Lisa's a good person. You're gonna be driving out with her the 30-hour drive to Washington." And he said, "Yeah, sure." Just very relaxed. And
he's always really relaxed. It seems.
And then we go upstairs to where Lisa was in the kitchen by herself, and Noah marches.
Oh, is that my computer?
At her computer.
Laptop.
And Lisa.
Well, what happened is that I just got done applying for jobs because I just got done with my student teaching, and so I was trying to find teaching jobs, and I just found out that I missed a bunch of deadlines for a bunch of schools that I would have loved to apply for. It was like total, like, not like just a good realization that, oh, dread, I might not have a job. Like, not really realization, but really I was just like, because there's always more. I ended up getting a job later on, but anyway, so like it was just like a horrible realization that, oh dear, I may not be able to support myself. So anyways, I was kind of in this funk. And then Noah and Heidi walk in. And then Heidi was just kind of like, Lisa, I want you to meet Noah. And what happened next, Heidi? Well, I was just so shy. I just don't know what happened. Heidi came around and sat on the bench right next to me, and I looked at Noah, and I just got really shy. And I just, Noah, I just kind of just...
You kind of crawled into Heidi's lap.
I kind of did. just kind of like this, actually, like this. And I just didn't know what to do. Noah has never met me before, and Heidi's just laughing, and then there I am, just first, just kind of scared to death.
Not saying a word the entire time. So it was really...
Yeah, and so then Heidi was just kind of like, "Lisa, do you want to try this again?" And I was just nodding, "Yes, yes, I do." And so then Heidi and Noah then like left our kitchen, went downstairs, and they came, like they took count to a couple of seconds, and I gathered myself, and they came right back up, and Noah was like, "Hi, Lisa," and I was just like, "Hello, Noah." And it was, so anyways, that was just the beginning of our road trip out to Holden, and kind of defined my whole first experience coming out to Holden, and just had a lot of fun, and
we haven't been disappointed for 1 minute since you arrived.
Yeah, thank you.
Start like that. Wow. Well, now we have somebody who came from a whole other part of the world. Sylvia, how did you discover Holden Village? Yes. Come on, tell us.
My name is Sylvia Vass, and I came from Hungary with my two children, Caroline and Christopher. And this is a very typical question. I get it every day from people in the village, so I'm glad to tell you.
She's practiced.
Yeah. So the first person from my family was my brother-in-law, who visited his relatives in New Jersey. And through the relatives' church, they talked about Holden, and my husband's brother got very excited to travel to an isolated place like Holden. So he came first and stayed for a couple of months. And then, of course, my husband, who is his brother, got excited too. So the next year he came for 6 months and stayed in Hualden Village. And we got married, that's interesting, we got married before he left for Hualden. So we got married in August and he left for Hualden in September, so the next month. And in September I started my studies in London. So I was studying for 6 months in London and he was working here in Hualden, but at that time there was no email and of course there was no phone. So he wrote, I think, 6 letters from Hualden each 1 month. But one surprise was I was babysitting a girl and studying at the same time, and there was a doorbell, and a person named Chris Rothmeier was standing at the door, and he said, I'm Chris, I'm Zoltan's friend, and I'm from Hualden Village. So he came in and told all the stories about Hualden, and I got very interested because the letters were not so descriptive about Hualden. So now I got the picture where my husband was, and after 6 months he went back to Hungary, and I went back to Hungary too, and we carried on our married life. And every once in a while we saw a mountain or got to know good people. He was talking about Hualden, so I got very curious about this place. And when I got my daughter and Christopher, I felt like I have to show something for them, not just the busy city life, what we were running, but something else too. So I knew that there was no telephone, there were no cars. People were very warm and open, and it was a safe place. So I said, this is the time for me where I want to go. And in 2003, I came here myself and my two children, because my husband is very busy. He cannot take long periods out of work. He works in the medical field. And Christopher was 3 years old, and Caroline was 6. And we came and traveled for 3 or 4 days. I think at that time it was 4 days, all the way coming the first time to Hualden. And I wanted to show them this safe, good place with all the spiritual meaning to it. But we ended up, Christopher was sucking his thumb all the time in Narnia. He was not absorbing any of the songs or any of the lessons or meeting people. He was not speaking English at all. And Caroline was running up and down the hills all by herself because it was safe and green. So the first summer was quite different from what I expected. So I felt, but at home they were talking about it, so I realized they got it, they got the feeling. So we came back the second time, hoping for some more. And the second time they got a little school here, so we came the same period of time from August till December. And that time they got to meet friends and Christopher started speaking, and I got the chance to open up to the community. And this is our third time, and this is going just very well. They are learning, they are meeting people, I'm enjoying the community. And my husband is coming back after 20 years in December.
Lovely. Oh,
thank
for
you.
Christmas.
For Christmas.
Oh, good. Well, we have a family here, the Childs family. Only 3 of them are present, but several others are well known to this community. Do you want to come on up, all 3 of you? Or one of you?
Right.
Oh, I thought my question. What happened?
After.
Oh, he had to clean up. Okay. Well, come on over and tell us about the Childs tradition. What got you started toward Hualden Village?
Mary Childs from Springfield, Missouri, and
John Childs, also from Springfield, Missouri.
You're actually from Holden, aren't you?
Well, now I'm from Holden.
And we came by way of Minnesota because we spent about 20 years working at Mount Carmel in Alexandria, Minnesota, which was a sister camp, this area. And my son, Will, started working here when he went to Trinity LBI. And then the first time I came to Holden was to bring Will out, and I only stayed one night. We drove out from Missouri and stayed here one night, and there were 7 feet of snow on the ground. It was the most amazing thing. And you were on the bus, which was also amazing.
That was Karen and
yes,
Paul.
Yes, Karen and Paul. And we had to hurry back home, my son Steve and I, because we thought we had to be back in Springfield, but when we got there, we'd had an ice storm and our power was off for 11 days. So it was not a good thing. But Will came, and then after Will, did you come? No?
No.
Who came next? Mary?
Well, it was kind of a gradual thing. And I think I was one of the last people to come out. And, you know, I found out that my brother Will was living out here in the mountains, and I'd heard a lot of different stories about Holden Village, and it sounded like a neat place, but one of my suspicions was it was either a cult or maybe a Lutheran hippie commune, so I was, you know, I was a little suspicious and wondering what Willie had been up to in the mountains for so long. So he spent a year as a cook here at Holden Village, and it was about time for him to leave. It was President's Day weekend 2008, so I thought, well, before Will leaves, I might as well check this place out for myself. So took off some time from school and came out here, and you know, I got off the boat and we ride up in this van, and then we got in the bombardiers with the track vehicles because there had been an avalanche across the road. And being from Missouri, we don't have a lot of avalanches, so it's quite a surprise. But this is some special place. So we got up there, and I think, you know, a lot of things happened. I did a lot of hikes and really enjoyed the hospitality. One thing that really made an impression was you walk by the Garbo dock and you realize how much beer people drink here. And, you know, I grew up in the Lutheran church, so I'm not unfamiliar with that aspect. But in college, I was somewhat of a closet evangelical, and, you know, I'd worked at a couple of evangelical camps in California, and so the idea that Christians could not only drink beer but drink way too much of it and really enjoy themselves was a real positive impression on me, strange as that sounds, so that I could really get into this place. So I came back the next summer, and I came back this year, and now I'm here for a year, so it's been a really good experience.
I didn't know that.
Well,
besides John and Will, my daughter Mary's worked here. My son Steve's been here. Who else is there? We have seven.
Ingy.
Well, yeah, and Ingy, our daughter Ingrid, did her senior class, her senior year here last year, and she was the graduating class at Holden, and she's really been an important connection to Holden. And then also two nephews have come, David Childs and Thomas Childs. And grandparents, Mike's parents, are coming up sometime this fall, too, for the first time. So, and now Mike and I have been here about 3 or 4 times, and we are at an interesting transitional point in our lives and are here working as volunteers to decide if this is the next place we're going to be for a few years. So we ask that you pray for us, because this is a wonderful place of creativity and faith and intersection of kindness and hospitality. And we really are glad to be here.
Thank you. Well, that is a perfect bridge to inviting Doug and Lily to come up, because they are first-time visitors, and yet they are actually, well, interestingly enough, they have connected with several people here at Holden for various reasons. Jereen, who was in Africa, Tanzania, when they probably met in Kenya. Isn't that right?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, I'm Lillian. And
I'm Doug, yeah. Doug Young.
Yeah. And I feel, thinking about it, that Holden Village had kind of been beckoning to me for a long time, because our long-term
backyard neighbor who was from Minnesota had been to Holden and was telling us about it probably 20 years ago, but you know, I didn't really reach in. But then I have a good weaver friend, Carolyn Giese, who has been up here for 2 years, and I happened to be at Weaver's retreat with her last April, and she was telling me, oh, Holden is just her favorite place to be. She'd been here as a very young person, and then had been back here for 2 years with her daughters, and was telling about all the wonderful hikes and the good food and the fresh baked bread and all these good things that people associate with Holden. And to backtrack a little bit, I'd had emergency surgery 3 years ago, and then I knew I needed to have surgery again in July. And Doug and I loved to hike. We've done a lot of it. And I didn't know what condition I would be, how soon I would recover, but I figured, well, if I can't hike, at least if we go to Holden, he can hike, because there would certainly be some companions for him up there. So I made the reservations, telling him about the hiking and the fishing up here, because he didn't know much about this, and that was kind of what sold him on about Holden. And the surgery went well, and I could, it recovered faster than I thought I could, and I got him up here. So, but going on the website, I said, well, it's not much going on, you know. I was looking at programs, and this week that we had here, I couldn't see anything that was planned. So I said, well, yeah, we will just hike and do our thing and go to Vespers. That was about all I knew about Holden. And come up here, and here we have these wonderful programs going on, and fortunately it rained, so we just stuck around camp, and it was, one thing, what I want to tell what Holden has meant for me being up there, I had kind of an epiphany going hiking today, went to huckleberry picking. I'd spied some huckleberries on a hike yesterday, and I went back to the same spot, and you know, looking up the hill, and you know, got quite a few, but not that many, it didn't seem to. But then I turned to go back, and the light came in just in the right way. You could see all these other huckleberry treasures just hanging there, and I thought, that's just kind of like Holden. You come here and you don't know what to expect, and then you get exposed to all these different views of life, or all the wonderful speakers and insights that you get here. It's just like taking a different turn in your life and finding a whole new treasure. So I have some huckleberries to pass on here.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Thank you.
So now we can tell what
well,
is.
Thank you. We are a non-recovering Catholics. Oh, I guess we're continuing to evolve. But I was so surprised. As some of you know, Lillian and I met on a blind date on a street corner in Nairobi, Kenya, when she was teaching with the Norwegian Volunteer Service, and I was working with agriculture with the American Peace Corps. And she announced she was Catholic. And I couldn't believe it, because I thought all of Scandinavia, and certainly all of Norway, was Lutheran, because it is the state religion. It's actually supported with tax dollars, but they do give a little bit, I think, to the minorities.
Well, we do get tax dollars for our Catholic schools.
But anyway, my father and mother were Catholic and Baptist, but neither of them, I think, ever went to either the Baptist church or the Catholic church. But when I got into college, I started practicing. And Lillian was a bit mild in how she described what brought me here. It was her. She made the reservations back in April, as she said, and I said, well, I don't know much about this place. I just know it's in the mountains and I like hiking, but, you know, I mean, 7 days of hiking and all that. And she said, well, if you don't go, I'm going to go with one of my girlfriends. So I came, and I must say I'm extremely happy that I came. I was a little bit like Jack on his first visit. I had very low expectations. And when I came, I found that the thing that has really amazed me has been the people and the multi-generational presence at Holden. People in their 80s and all these young people from their teens to, they say, 25 and under. And we've actually spent from 7:30 until 11 talking to people from breakfast on. I had a wonderful talk with Grace and Karen and John and others one morning. And I must say that the young people here have been so inspirational to me because they're so insightful and so thoughtful about what they're going to do with their lives. And I've been a university professor for 33 years at WSU, and I meet a lot of young people who you know, are quite happy to run up loans or spend their parents' money and not really figuring out what they're going to do, and perhaps not using their time in the most effective way. There's always opportunities for a lot of distractions. And at the other end, the older people here, so active, so spiritually and mentally engaged. I see the same people in these sessions of programs, which frankly I didn't know existed. But just a couple examples of how engaging the programs have been for me. Maren, over here, actually got Lillian to speak up in public in a group, as you just heard, but this the first time I think was yesterday. That's the first time I've seen this happen in the 40 years and 8 months of our glorious courtship and marriage. So thank you, Maren.
Well, no, thank you.
I will make a habit of it.
Make a habit of it, Maren.
And we attended Jereen Mortensen's wonderful sharing about Afghanistan and educating women. And we already have a copy of her book, but I ran over to the bookstore and bought another one so just could get her autograph on it and share the first one with some other people. But Nancy Winder's Bible study this morning was really touching for me out of Gallatin's, and you know, sharing sort of the core of Christianity, you know, and, how, you know, do unto the least of my brethren, for my interpretation, you do unto me, and this whole list of things that shalt not, but and then the list of you can't have too much of love or too much of joy or too much of gentleness and empathy. You know, that was Paul's message to the Galatians and, or Galatians, I think it's pronounced, perhaps Galatians. So all of these things we'll take back with us. And here I came here not knowing anything really to expect.
Wow. When I set this up, I told Paul we'll have more people to tell than there will be time to tell, and that's good, because it should happen again. It is time for us to get ready for Vespers, and I wanted to say that there's a couple people, because I will be here at the next one, and I really want to hear your story. So please, can I ask you to tell me what you were going to tell after Vespers? Can we get together, Jereen? I want to hear that story you told at Eye-Opener today. And you, Mark, I want to hear about the trail of joyful laughter that you brought to Holden from the very first year until this year. How many years have you been coming, Mark? Yes. So I'll catch up with you two later, and then Mark, you'll have to tell that story before you leave. You will. Okay. And Carol, I didn't hear yours either. All right. Thank you for coming tonight, everybody.